Chicago!
For the Chicago Blackhawks, the seeds of the 2016 season were sown on a stormy Monday night last June.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
I finally found my hallelujah. I've been waiting for this moment all my life. Now my dreams are coming true.
We're all very emotional right now, and it's hard to get a grip on anything that's going on right now.
I don't know, I think we got guys that just won't quit. Guys that have played in these situations before.
Well, Chicago, that's three cups in six seasons. I'd say you have a dynasty.
Welcome to Blackhawks Radio 720 WGN's look back on the 2015-2016 Chicago Blackhawks season. This hour-long special is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park. Now here's your host, WGN Sports Director Dave Ennett.
As so often happens with championship teams, no sooner had the party ended than there were tough decisions to be made.
Saad with a shot, he scored! Brandon Saad off of an individual effort!
Just 2 weeks after winning the Cup, Blackhawks said goodbye to young forward Brandon Saad in a seven-player deal which netted them, among others, center Artem Anisimov. The Blackhawks had already made a significant acquisition during the heat of their playoff run, signing young Russian star Artemi Panarin to a two-year contract.
You know, he's dangerous. He's got real good play recognition. Him and Kaner seem like they got real good chemistry and good anticipation offensively, and I think that should only improve.
Coach Joel Quenneville would put Panarin on a line with Patrick Kane with dazzling results. By the time the season dawned, the Blackhawks had said goodbye to Saad and several others, including Patrick Sharp, Johnny Oduya, and Chris Versteeg. They had managed to keep Andrew Desjardins and Marcus Kruger. On October 7th, they raised another banner to the United Center rafters.
This is a part of a ceremony that will never get old. The 2015 Stanley Cup Championship banner raised to the United Center rafters.
Once the puck was dropped, it didn't seem to take very long at all to realize that the Hawks had added another exciting piece to a championship team.
Mark Stahl to get it. Quick pass up the left wing off of Rick Nash's stick. Slides all the way down, and they're going to wave the icing. Hjalmarsson behind the net. Drives it around. Off the stick of Boyle and down into the Rangers on along the left boards. Kane's got it. Fed the slot. Panarin shoots and scores! Artemi Panarin with his first National Hockey League goal. Off of a perfect setup from Patrick Kane. Ties the score at one. Welcome to the Windy City, Artemi Panarin.
The Blackhawks didn't win on banner night, losing to the Rangers 3-2. But two nights later, they spoiled the New York Islanders' first game in their new home, the Barclays Center, in their first taste of the new 3-on-3 overtime format.
Hulsa encumbers him in the corner, pulls the puck free. Marian Hulsa gave it to Kane, to Taves, put it up the boards, left point to Keith. Keith will now hold the puck. Keith moving it to the right circle. Kane to Hulsa, high slot to Kane, bottom of the right circle, jams it into the crease, they score! It's Jonathan Taves in front of the net. I believe he deflected that Patrick Kane pass in behind Thomas Grice. It's a Citgo Petroleum power play goal, and the Hawks win in overtime here in Brooklyn.
Start spreading the news.
They beat the Islanders again the next night at the United Center, 4-1, but then suffered back-to-back road losses in Philadelphia and Washington by a combined score of 7-1. They responded as they usually do, by reeling off four straight wins, the first one over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Noteworthy because Patrick Kane started scoring that night, and he wouldn't stop for about 2 months.
Taves to Panarin at center ice, to Kane over the jacket line, right circle, holds up, Kane, delays, shoots, score! An empty net goal for Patrick Kane, and that should put this one away. I believe Patrick Kane was holding on to the puck to try and let Panarin get his stick open for an easy goal, but Kane just decided, why not, and put it into the empty net.
While Kane was streaking, an injury would cost the Hawks one of their core players, Iron Man defenseman Duncan Keith. The Blackhawks announced that Keith had a torn meniscus and underwent surgery on October 20th, leaving Brent Seabrook and others to pick up the slack.
You know, Dunk plays about 24 to 30 minutes a night, so that's a lot of minutes that we got to account for. And I think the coaches are looking at that us six guys back there to eat up some of those minutes. So it's going to be a little bit of a grind, but, you know, I think the guys are looking forward to it. And Joel does a great job of giving us rest. The coaches have a good sense of that, so it's good.
Two nights later, the Hawks beat the improved Florida Panthers. But the next two games on the schedule were the ones everybody had been waiting for. Rematches with the last two teams the Hawks beat in the playoffs, the Anaheim Ducks and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay came first, a Stanley Cup final rematch, and the game was scoreless in overtime.
Seabrook made a pass up the right wing. Taves has it. Cuts in over the Lightning line by the defense. To the net. Put it on goal. He scores! Hawks win! Hawks win! The captain, Jonathan Taves, worked it by the Lightning defense and brought it in on Dudleski's. And the only shot in overtime finds its range. The Hawks beat the Lightning 1-0 here in OT. And that goal scored 17 seconds into overtime.
Two nights later, the Ducks came in, and the similarity was unmistakable.
Getzlaff has it, working along the blue line, coughed it up to Jonathan Taves along the far board. Hawk zone to Seabrook, Hawk line. Quick pass to Kane over the duck line on the right wing. One man back, it's Getzlaff. Kane drops it off to Taves. Taves escapes down the right wing, shoots off the crossbar.
It's in.
No, it's in, he scores! Jonathan Taves! With his second consecutive overtime game-winning goal. And the Hawks finally get one past the Ducks. They win in overtime for the second consecutive game. Corey Crawford again pitches another shutout. That's number 14 on his career, the second of this season. And the captain leads the way again.
You know, I think finding ways to get points in the win hockey games is what it's all about. And getting through periods like this is what can make you a better team down the road.
That's hockey, baby!
Meantime, Kane's streak grew. The entire league began to pay attention, and even casual fans began to take notice. In the Hawks' first game in November, Kane scored his seventh goal of the year. He scored a goal in the next game, and the next one, and the next one.
England steps out, made a pass up the near side, picked off by Anisimov at center ice. Moves in over the flame line on the right wing from the slot. Van Riemsdyk with a one-timer. Blocked in front. Loose puck in front of the net. Kane's got it. Shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane! Seven straight games with a goal! And the leading scorer in the NHL adds another one. A backhander into the top shelf. Past Ramo. We're tied at one.
Kane's goal streak ended the next game. The first stop on the circus trip as the Blackhawks won in Edmonton 4-3 in overtime. But Kane had two assists, and when November ended, his point streak stood at 19 games. It had reached 21 when the Hawks hosted Winnipeg. He needed one point to break Bobby Hull's Blackhawks record, and the streak was in jeopardy late in the game.
Too little behind the Hawk net, chased into the far corner, put it into the skates of Jalmerson. Ahead to Kane, he hand passes it ahead to Panarin with an open net, he shoots, he scores! Empty net goal for Artemi Panarin. And it looked as though the pass that came from Kane was a hand pass. But right now, if this goal counts, Patrick Kane becomes the all-time leader in consecutive games with a point in Chicago Blackhawks history with 22.
22 and counting, and it would take an empty netter again to extend the streak.
Yarncroke into the Hawk zone, caught from behind by Panarin, who reaches out with his stick and knocks the puck off of Yarncroke's stick. Jalmerson along the far boards, now in the corner, works it free to Panarin on the right wing boards. To Kane at center ice on the left wing, a long shot, he scores! Make it 23 straight games with a point. Patrick Kane fired it into an empty Predator net. And with 1:36 left on the clock for the third period, that's all she wrote. It's 4-1 Hawks.
Right now, when you're tied with anything with Bobby Hull, it's pretty special considering the career that guy has.
Yeah.
In a 2-0 win over Winnipeg, Kane had another goal to tie Sidney Crosby for the longest streak in the NHL since 1993, 25 games. And he wasn't quite done.
And Aaron to the left circle. Keith shoots, he scores! Duncan Keith turned and fired from the left circle. There was a screen in front of Miller, and that found the top left corner of the Canucks net. It's 1-0 Hawks and a power play goal.
The second assist to Kane, the streak at 26 games.
Everybody's rooting for him as well, and I think the earlier it's accomplished, I think it... won't be such, I don't think it's a distraction when we're playing, but I think the games get a little deeper, can be.
The streak ended the next game, a 3-0 loss to Colorado, but what a streak it was. 26 games, longest in Blackhawks history, the longest for a U.S.-born player, breaking the previous mark of 18 games shared by Phil Kessel and Eddie Olczyk. During the streak, Kane had 16 of his 46 goals, 24 of his 60 assists, 40 of his career-high 106 points.
You know, you never know what's going to happen with a streak. There's a lot of games when it seemed like I was, down and out, and you end up getting something at the end or whatever it may be. But, it was fun breaking the American record. I was happy with that. And then to break the franchise record, too, that was pretty special as well, so it was definitely fun while it lasted.
It's hard for me. It's fun because, I get to go to some cities I love to go to. I love coming out west. I just hate being away from my kids. I hate being away from my family. Any man out there or woman out there that is a professional and travel, they know what it's like. So kiss me. You have to leave your family sometimes to go and earn a living and take care of them.
The circus trip is on.
Here are Dad, the voice of the Blackhawks. 720 WGN.
Kane wasn't the only Blackhawk who enjoyed an historic streak in the 2015-16 season. All his teammates did as well. It began on December 29th at Arizona. And on New Year's Eve, the Hawks rang out the old a familiar way.
Panarin, bottom of the left wing circle. Back to Seabrook, high slot. To Kane, right faceoff dot. Here's Kane to Taves, the side of the net. Turns and fires. He scores! Hawks win! Hawks win!
The fourth overtime goal for Taves. The Blackhawks opened 2016 with a 3-0 win over Ottawa. Then another overtime game, and this time the Breadman rose.
Kane crisscrossing with Panarin. Panarin takes the puck into the right circle, shoots off the crossbar. No, it's into the net. He scores. Hawks win in overtime. Panarin shot from the right circle, went in and out of the Penguin net, and the Hawks win here in Pittsburgh 3-2. Scores! Two for his money. Artemi Panarin fired it off the underneath side of the crossbar and past Talbot. And the Hawks.
Panarin today, I think he's getting better at his English. I ask him as he's married, he goes, "No, single." So I was so and a smile. So that was progress. I mean, he's I think he's starting to understand things.
Именно чтобы забить гол.
I was really, really trying hard to score.
Потом как-то расслабился, поверил в себя и
trusted myself.
No, it's not that bad communication wise anyways. I kind of figured out how to speak to him in words he understands, and if it really comes down to it, you just tell Anisimov to tell him something. So he's a great kid. He loves playing hockey, and he loves trying to do well.
The winning streak grew to 8 with a win over Nashville, then victories over Montreal, Toronto, and Montreal again. When the Blackhawks beat the Preds in Nashville, they had an even dozen.
2 seconds, one. This one's over. The Chicago Blackhawks have
set a new franchise record for consecutive wins in the regular season. 12 in a row for the Chicago Blackhawks. They also tie the Florida Panthers for the longest streak in the National Hockey League this season. Congratulations to Joel Quenneville, the coaching staff, and the Blackhawk players, along with Blackhawks management, for excellent work. The boys got it done here tonight in Nashville.
The streak ended at the hands of the team the Blackhawks beat for the Stanley Cup, the Tampa Bay Lightning. But during the streak, another milestone for Coach Q.
And Joel Quenneville now moves into second place all time in National Hockey League history with his 783rd regular season win. Congratulations to the Blackhawks and to Joel Quenneville for this monumental success. And Quenneville is given the puck by Captain Jonathan Toews. A slap on the back and a handshake. Well done by the Chicago Blackhawks here tonight.
783 wins as Quenneville passed Al Arbour to trail only Scotty Bowman on the career wins list.
He's one of those guys distinguished behind the bench and a Scotty type of an aura back there, and their teams were always winning teams and they always played hard and tough to play against. So it was a, and I think as a player, you know, you heard a lot of good things about Al as well. So his teams were successful and catching him is, very honored.
It came two nights after the Blackhawks announced a three-year contract extension for Quenneville through the 2019-2020 season.
Q is one of the more animated coaches behind the bench, and I think everybody loves it. His looks behind the bench are just, they're phenomenal. And just, when he gets that glare going and you know he's not happy with the officials, it's I love it. I love that passion behind the bench.
The Blackhawks, a great organization led by Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Joel Quenneville, Stan Bowman.
Through championship seasons and standards, the Chicago Blackhawks and WGN Radio, a partnership of perfection.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are here.
Hayes has a shorthanded chance of the King.
Forget the past.
Oh,
forget the parades.
Chicago!
Forget the pageantry.
One from Patrick Kane.
And forget the razor.
A great night for the Chicago Blackhawks.
There's a new job to do.
And the United Center is up for grabs.
It's time to do it.
Hockey, baby!
I'm Bobby Hull.
A partnership of personality.
You don't have a poker face. Like, I think about your kids. Your kids always knew when you were angry. I guarantee it.
I don't know. You got to keep them off balance, you know.
You know, I told your mustache. Have your mustache tell your face. You don't hide anger well.
Well, I'm getting better now in my old age.
Coach Q joins Steve Cochran weekday mornings.
It's always fun talking to you, and I appreciate it. And
it's always a blast talking to you, Steve.
You're the best.
On Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
We're in a winning business. Winning business. Business.
A partnership of family.
With the Chicago Blackhawks, I'm John Whiteman.
I'm Riley Whiteman.
Hawk fans, bring your attitude. This is going to be good.
I'm Sean Whiteman.
Scores! Oh, what a sweet dish!
We love our dad!
Hawks win! Hawks win! In triple overtime!
But he really should relax.
Oh, man! 2 seconds left in regulation!
He gets so excited!
There's a shot! There's also the rebound!
Scores! Chill, Dad, chill!
Hawks win!
Voice of the Blackhawks on 720 WGN.
For special moments, a partnership of purpose. The Chicago Blackhawks. Almost too much top-level hockey to be played under one roof. So we got rid of the roof. A partnership of standards, excitement.
Wow! Oh, man, what a scene on the ice surface.
The Chicago Blackhawks and WGN Radio. A partnership of possibilities.
Hi, this is Corey Crawford.
Tabo Turbine and Marian Hossa.
Joel Quenneville.
Hi, this is Duncan Keith.
Hey, it's Jonathan Toews.
The 2015 Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks play here. 720 WGN.
Another year of pure pride from all of us here at Blackhawks Radio 720 WGN to be associated with the greatest franchise in hockey. Let's return to our look back at the 2015-2016 Chicago Blackhawks season with your host, Dave Ennett.
Third consecutive year, the Blackhawks played outdoors. In late February, they ventured to TCF Bank Stadium at the University of Minnesota to meet the Minnesota Wild. And it was a rough one, the Wild with a 6-1 win. Along the way, the Blackhawks dealt with injuries. Center Marcus Kruger, a mainstay on the penalty kill, was lost in December to a dislocated wrist and would not return until late March. Goaltender Corey Crawford, who had stayed relatively healthy, suffered an upper body injury that sidelined him in mid-March. While listed as day-to-day, Crawford would not return till the last game of the regular season, a significant loss for the NHL leader in shutouts. After their 12-game winning streak, the Blackhawks cooled off, losing 5 out of 7 games in the days leading up to the trade deadline. And that's when general manager Stan Bowman got busy. He acquired a handful of new players in trades. The most significant, the return of Andrew Ladd.
Welcome back.
A member of the 2010 Stanley Cup champs and a deal with the Winnipeg Jets.
I think anyone's excited to be a part of that again, and it's a treat to watch some of those guys play. I think you have such a great appreciation for what they do day in, day out when you play with them each and every day and see their skill on the ice and practice in the game. So I'm excited to see them again.
Ladd's arrival came with Marian Hossa out with an injury, and it didn't take long for him to make a contribution.
Connick holds the puck, gave it on the half boards to Ladd, to the high slot, Seabrook to the left point, Key fires, blocked in front, the rebound, Connick fires, save, rebound, score! From the center, Ladd wing, and it's Andrew Ladd with a loose puck. He ends up sending it in behind Mrazek, and the Hawks get a 3-goal lead back at 4-1. Welcome back to Chicago, Andrew Ladd.
Welcome back. Bowman also added veteran forwards Tomas Fleischmann and Dale Weiss in a deal with Montreal. But the Blackhawks struggled in March against the other contenders in the Central, losing twice to the Dallas Stars and once to the Blues in a shootout. Still, on the final Sunday of the regular season, a performance against the Boston Bruins, themselves in a battle to make the playoffs, was somewhat reassuring.
Back the other way come the Bruins, over the Hawk line and down the right wing. A pass in front of the net is turned wide. It was Noel Acciardi trying to squeeze one in there. Seabrook then sends it ahead. Panarin over the Bruin line to Kane, right circle, shoots! He scores! Hat-trick for Patrick Kane! And that's his 100th point this season! Patrick Kane with a 4-goal game scores his second hat-trick of the season, and it's the first Blackhawk to hit the 100-point mark since Jeremy Roenick did back in 1993-94. And the United Center ice surface is literally showered with hats.
Some of my close friends and you know, some family, my sister in town, so it was fun to do it in front of them. And the only bad thing was my dad was in here. I know he would have loved to see it, my dad and mom. So that's unfortunate, but I'm sure they're having fun watching on TV.
Blackhawks would go on to win the game 6-4. They were playing without Keith again, suspended 6 games by the league for high-sticking in a late-season game at Minnesota. The suspension would carry into the playoffs for 1 game. The Blackhawks would finish the regular season 47-26-9 for 103 points, one more than they had last year. They were again third in a tightly bunched Central Division, which meant opening the playoffs on the road against their rivals, the St. Louis Blues.
We know it's not going to be easy, and we're facing as good a team as there is in the league right out of the gate. That's our focus right now, and we've got to be at our best.
You work all season long to put good numbers up and to have a good regular season. Spring arrives in the Midwest. The sun starts to come out. The grass starts growing. Baseball season starts. And you know, it's hockey playoff time. And it's an exciting time of year. Everybody wants to achieve the one goal that the Blackhawks hold right now as the Stanley Cup champions. And it certainly is a different feeling.
The Hawks were healthy going into the playoffs and hardly fazed by starting on the road. After all, they had begun 3 of their 4 playoff series last year on the road and won them all. And St. Louis had its own issues. The Blues had failed to get out of the first round the last 3 years, including dropping 4 straight to the Blackhawks 2 years earlier after winning the first 2 at home. The story in Game 1, the goaltenders.
Here's Kane entering the right circle. Put him aside the net. Anisimov tried to tuck it in the short side. And Elliott is down with a butterfly save. Gloves the puck and holds it there. Ashton turns out of the penalty box. Hawks at full strength. Stassi into the Hawks zone. Right point to Brower. High slot. Shoots. Shoulder save is made by Crawford. Big save by Crawford right there.
Corey Crawford made 16 saves through three periods. The Blues' Brian Elliott, 28. Into overtime they went. The Blackhawks had an immediate power play but couldn't score. And the Blues would get the only goal they needed for a 1-0 win.
We played a great hockey game. We didn't give them very many chances tonight, and it's a tough way to lose.
Game two, St. Louis grabbed a 1-0 lead late in the second period. But as the two teams were ready to head off for the second intermission.
Drawn the puck, Keane got it to the right point. Keane fires, score! Duncan Keith with a hammering shot from the right point. Deflects through traffic and past Elliott. It took the Blackhawks almost 100 minutes to score in this playoff series. But Duncan Keith, back in the lineup after six games out, drove it past Elliott high into the top shelf, and the Hawks have tied it at one.
It was 1-1 going to the third and stayed that way. An offside call determined by replay wiped out an apparent Blues go-ahead goal. It stayed tied till less than 5 minutes remained.
Kane, left point. Closes in, gave it to Seabrook in the slot. Backhand, big save by Elliott. They battle for the rebound, they score! In front of the net, I believe it was Andrew Shaw. He would not be denied at the top of the Blues crease. He's able to punch it past Elliott. It's a power play goal.
The final was 3-2. The Blackhawks going home tied 1-1. And home ice was theirs.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it'll be ratcheting up every game going forward. You know, both teams are, got experience and they know what it takes in the playoffs. And, you know, we got to make sure we're ready for next game.
WGN Radio continues our look back at the 2015-2016 Blackhawks season. The season of records.
Hawks win! The Blackhawks beat the best team in the NHL.
A season of leaders.
Patrick Kane with a wraparound goal in overtime.
And a season of new blood.
And it's a hat trick for Artemi Panarin.
Dave Ennett narrates the season that was for the 2015-2016 Chicago Blackhawks.
Corey Crawford has pitched back-to-back shutouts. Panarin's going to have it in a hat trick. Moves into the Rangers zone. Shoots. He scores! And it's a hat trick for Artemi Panarin.
He's been a great fit for us. Kind of one of those players that's maybe exceeded some expectations coming in. But, great find by the organization. We're happy to have him here.
The triumphs and challenges continued up to the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs. We return to Dave Ennett on 720 WGN.
Game three, back at the frenzied United Center, the Blackhawks grabbed a 2-1 lead.
Artemi Panarin facing off with Paul Stastny. Ends up with a puck. And it's in front of Anisimov. Should he score? Artem Anisimov with a pass from Panarin from the left wing corner. Panarin decided he was not going to get outworked for the puck. He took it away and found Anisimov all alone at the doorstep. And he put it home. It's 2-1 Hawks.
The Blues tied the game early in the third. Then a four-minute high-sticking penalty on Kane put St. Louis on the power play, and Jaden Schwartz would score to give them a 3-2 win and a 2-1 series lead.
Just got to be smarter in that situation. Obviously, can't take a penalty at that time of the game, especially when the score is 2-2. So take responsibility on that one for sure.
You know, I think all three games could have gone each way, all three games, and that's how close it's been. And margin error is very limited or very minimal. I just think we got to keep persevering and find a way to get that momentum back here at home next game and turn it around.
Well, I don't know why they're waving this off. He thinks that the puck's underneath, but it's not. This is a terrible call by the backside official. This is not going to be popular here at the United Center.
After review, the puck was sitting on the goal line. The goaltender reached back and tied it up. The whistle blew. No goal.
False. False, Chris Rooney. False. You lost sight of it. Admit that. He didn't cover it up. He swatted it back out.
And once again, we have a call made by the officiating staff this season that's as popular here like a narc at a biker's rally.
Two nights later, another two-goal third period for St. Louis stunned the United Center crowd.
The puck. This one's over. Now Shaw jumps on top of Steen at the top of the
crease. And the Blues took command of the series 3-1. back to St. Louis, where the Blackhawks scored 3 second-period goals to take a 2-goal lead, gave it up in the third, and again they went to overtime, and then double overtime.
Sitting in from the left corner. Tried to spin it in behind the net and did. Panik's got it there. Rolling around. Fed the high slot. Kane. Now he deeks. He moves toward the net and shoots. Oh, it rolls just by the net. Rebound. Score! Patrick Kane with a wraparound goal in overtime. His first goal in the playoffs. And the Hawks beat the Blues in double overtime. 4-3. And this series is going back to the United Center for Game 6 on Saturday. Hawks win in double overtime down here in St. Louis.
Now it was 3-2, and the Hawks were going home.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
Game 6 saw the United Center erupt less than 4 minutes into the game.
Also in behind the Blues net, trying to set up the right circle for Kruger. That's taken away by Shattenkirk. Then Shattenkirk coughed up the puck right circle. A shot to score! It's Andrew Ladd with a loose puck in the right wing circle. Snaps it past Brian Elliott for his first Blackhawk playoff goal since Game 6 of the 2010 Finals. It's 1-0 Hawks.
But stunningly, the lead was brief. The Blues scored 3 goals in the first period for a 3-1 lead. Now there was urgency. The Hawks down 3-2 in the series. 3-1 in the game.
The lad over the Blues line launches a shot from the high slot over the Blues net. And behind the net, Shattenkirk drives it around, not out. Panarin put it in front. Hossa shoots! Down to Zilli with the same rebound. Score! In front of the Blues net, Artem Anisimov got to the rebound and sticks it in behind Elliott. It's a power play goal. And the Hawks are back to within one of the Blues, trailing 3-2. Side to Schwartz, standing in front of the Blues bench. He redirects it down the boards behind the Hawk net and then got on the bench. Chalmerson takes it. But a pass to Panik over the Blues line. Left wing hands it off to Taves to the front of the net. He left it there. Shot to score! Coming down the near side, it's Trevor Van Riemsdyk. A perfect setup by Jonathan Taves, and TBR put her home, his first in the playoffs. We're tied at 3. Anisimov over the Blues line. Drop pass Panarin to the right wing corner. Fires a shot. That hit Shattenkirk's stick, and he lost his stick behind the net. And now here's Panarin firing to the left corner. Weiss shoots, he scores! Dale Weiss with his first Blackhawk goal. He snapped it into the top shelf past Elliott. Shattenkirk had lost his stick and could not defend. Panarin saw it and set up Weiss for the left circle. He snapped her home. It's 4-3 Hawks.
The Hawks took the lead into the third period, but they had done that before in the series. With about 3 minutes left, the Hawks put this one away.
Here's Kane dropping it down to the right corner to Taves. Behind the back pass to Kane, now in behind the Blues net. And now 19 seconds on the power play. Kane put it in front, Shaw shoots, he scores! Power play goal! Andrew Shaw back in the lineup! Rips it past Elliott! And with 3:07 left on the clock for the third period, the Hawks are looking down the road in a possible Game 7. It's 5-3 Hawks. And the Hawks control. Then Riemsdyk behind the net. Spins it around up the far side. Not out. Kept in by Shattenkirk. Left point. Then he lost it. A long shot from the block line. They score! An empty net goal. And this will put it away. Marian Hossa swinging it from the Hawk line into the empty Blues net. It's 6-3 Hawks with 2:20 left on the clock. And the United Center is up for grabs. We're heading to Game 7.
You'll never surrender.
They were indeed going back to St. Louis for Game 7. They had won a Game 7 on the road a year earlier to reach the Stanley Cup Final. The Blues had not won a Game 7 since 1999, when their coach was Joel Quenneville. It was 2-0 St. Louis late in the first, but the Blackhawks got on the board with 90 seconds to go.
Kane swept the puck in behind the Blues net into the far corner. Bomeister's got it ahead to Laterra over the Hawk line. Sent it across on the near side for Schwartz. He lost his edge and fell down, and the puck. Panik sends Hossa over the Blues line. He shoots, he scores! A rocket from Marian Hossa! That one hit the back of the net. That's his third goal in 3 straight games for Marian Hossa. And the Hawks are on the board. They trail 2-1.
Andrew Shaw tied the game on a power play goal early in the second. and it stayed that way till a former Blackhawk came back to haunt him late in the third.
Over to Gustafson, who runs into Fabry ahead of the Hawk line at center ice. Fabry goes down. Petrangelo tosses the puck to the right wing boards. Hawks zone. Stastny put it to Fabry to the front of the net. Brower shoots. He scores. Troy Brower on his first shot hit the post, and the puck ricocheted awkwardly between his legs. He somehow found a way to get the backhand part of his stick on it and knock it over the goal line past Crawford, and the Blues take the lead back at 3-2.
The Blackhawks still had time, and they still had some chances. The best when a Brent Seabrook shot hit the left post and then the right one.
Shaw now chips it down behind the net. Panarin, it's taken away in the near corner by Backes. He'll send it off the boards and down ice into the Hawk zone. 3 seconds, 2-1, and the St. Louis Blues have come back and beaten the Blackhawks here in game number 7 by the final score of 3-2. The Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks reign ends here in St. Louis. And the Blues will move on and play the Dallas Stars in round number 2.
The reign was officially over.
They're a good hockey team. I mean, it's I know they were looking for it for a long time to break through and get past the first round. So, we're kind of worried about what we were going to do in here. And no matter who we were playing, we thought we had a good chance to win. So it's just a disappointing, weird feeling right now.
Still, the season had provided so many highlights. Kane's scoring streak, and he won the Art Ross Trophy as the league scoring champ with 106 points. Panarin had led all NHL rookies in goals, assists, and points. Crawford led the league with 7 shutouts. After a day to let it sink in, the captain, Jonathan Toews, reflected on it and acknowledged that perhaps the rigors of winning a Stanley Cup and the sheer volume of games finally caught up with the Blackhawks.
When you're in the moment, whether it's this regular season or even in the first round, or if we were able to win that game and move on, I don't think you're ever going to try. You're going to try not to let that type of thinking get in your head, and you'll find any way that you can to try and overcome those certain obstacles that make it really tough to do what we've been trying to do, which obviously this year was repeat. And at the end of the day, that is what is really hard about winning one time to begin with, but also to come back the next year and try to do it again in 2 consecutive years. I mean, that's one of the major reasons why it's so difficult is the amount of hockey that you have to play, how physical this game is, how tight our division is throughout the regular season. So throughout the season, we don't want to make those excuses, but it's part of that experience that we can learn from.
Some legends are told, some turn to dust or to gold, but you will remember me, remember me.
As the Blackhawks skate into the offseason, there will, as always, be changes. Bowman looks for some of the Blackhawks' young players to take the next step.
I mean, there's always the chance to improve your team through trades, and we've done that. But we're looking at players that were here this year to take that next step in their career. So whether it's a forward or a defenseman, it's enhancing their profile that way. And then for players that are in Rockford, we've got some guys that have had a couple years under their belt, and we're looking for some of them to step forward and seize the moment as NHL players.
The final word from Coach Joel Quenneville.
We had enough ammunition here to find a way to win another one, and so we can learn from it in ways, and let's recapture the energy going into next season with that appetite of playing for another 6 weeks.
And that's our look back at the Blackhawks 2016 season.
WGN Radio's look back at the Blackhawks, written and produced by WGN Sports Director Dave Hennett. Hockey returns on Blackhawks Radio 720 WGN.